Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back and making his ninth appearance with us here is former Steelers Pro Bowl linebacker LaVon Kirkland. Let me remind you about LaVon's background. He is from Lamar, South Carolina, played his college ball at Clemson, where he was a consensus All-American in 1991. He is also a member of their All-Century team and was inducted into their Hall of Fame back in 2001. He was also inducted into the state of South Carolina's Athletic Hall of Fame in 2008. He was a second-round draft pick in 1992 by my Pittsburgh Steelers, and he played in the NFL from 92 to 2002. All but two of those seasons were up in Pittsburgh. He spent 1 year each in Seattle and Philadelphia. He was selected to the Pro Bowl in back-to-back years in 1996 and 97. He was the Steelers team MVP in 1998 and 99. He was also named to the NFL's All-Decade Team for the 1990s. And last year, he was inducted into the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. He's more recently been coaching, having spent time as a defensive coordinator at Florida A&M, as well as doing some internships with the Arizona Cardinals and the Cincinnati Bengals, which as a Steeler fan hurts me to say. And as many of you know, LaVon Kirkland was the number one guest, first guest ever here on Thursday Night Tailgate back in September of 2011. He's a member of our guest Hall of Fame, and if for nothing else, agreeing to come on a show he never heard of with two guys that he never heard of, and we really appreciate the fact that he did that and his generosity over the years, and we're thrilled he's back with us again tonight here on a happy birthday edition to me of Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, LaVon, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back, LaVon.
Thank you very much, and happy birthday.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
So, LaVon, I want to start off our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on the draft, right? We're a week away. Next Thursday, this time, we're going to be in the midst of the first round, so When you think about what the Steelers need to do, where do you think they go in the early rounds?
Oh, man. You never really, really, really ever know exactly what a team is going to do. But looking at, they're going to be what, 20? Which number do they have?
I think they're 28.
I think they're going to probably go on the defensive side of things, I would think, because I looked at the defense last year, and I don't think our defense was as good as it has been the last, before that. So I'm looking for them to maybe go defensively. Maybe we can get somebody who's an impact corner, maybe screw up that inside linebacker position, because Chase Year is not, I don't know when he's going to be available. So I think you're looking at something on the defensive side of the ball, either a linebacker or a cornerback.
And LaVon, as I mentioned, you're a second round pick, right? 38th overall selection. What was drafting like for you?
I would never forget that. I was at my sister's home, and I was kind of a tweener. I don't know if many teams knew exactly what to do. Will I play outside backer? Can we make him an inside linebacker? But Pittsburgh at the time probably showed the most interest. But I kind of thought they weren't going to go first round with team, honestly, that I met with Coach Tower. And I really wanted to play for Pittsburgh. That was the team I really wanted to play for. You never know what's going to happen, but I remember before the 38th pick, going into my sister's bathroom, looking in the mirror and saying, they're going to pick me, they're going to pick me, they're going to pick me. I was bold enough to walk in the kitchen and sit by the phone, and sure enough, the phone rang, and it was Tom Donahoe at first, and he was just like, hey, man, LaVon, we're really considering picking you this next pick. And then Charles Bailey, a longtime scout, got on the phone with me. He was basically saying, you guys have a TV in Lamar because that's a small town. And I was like, well, I'm in Sumter, but so yeah. And he said, well, in a few minutes, your name's going to run across the ticker. And it did. And I was a Pittsburgh Steeler, exactly where I wanted to be.
So that sort of begs the question, why, right? What was it about the Steelers that you thought, this is the organization I hope fix me?
Well, honestly, I grew up, I wasn't a Pittsburgh Steelers fan at all. But I understand that the Rooneys were, excellent owners, excellent family-owned team. And I spent more time with the Steelers during my draft process. I feel like I have more of a relationship. I know it's not recruiting or anything like that, but I really liked Coach Carr from the beginning. He was a young coach. I felt like he was the kind of guy that I wanted to play for. And sure enough, man, I got drafted by him, and he was. He was a great coach to play for. I really loved playing for Coach Carr. And it just really worked out. And the history, was great too. I mean, learning about, all the linebackers, especially playing linebacker and what it meant to be a linebacker in Pittsburgh. So I just got a good feeling about it. I can't say more than that. Just had a good feeling about it. Really pray to God that that's where I'll go. And that's how it worked out. So he blessed me to go with the Steelers. So it's a cool thing.
Bob, questions for LeVon?
Always a pleasure to speak with you, LeVon. And even before you got to Pittsburgh, you were a South Carolina kid. And just wondering if you had any choices beside Clemson. And looking back, LeVon, was that the absolute best choice you could have made at the time?
Well, I had one other school, the University of South Carolina, that pursued me. But honestly, Clemson recruited me the hardest. Coach Miles Augustus really developed a great relationship with me. I wasn't really highly recruited at the time. Those were really, well, as far as across the nation. I mean, in South Carolina, you don't get any bigger than Clemson and the University of South Carolina. So once I took the trip to Clemson, I was hooked on it. And I knew that's where I wanted to be. I didn't really need to visit any other schools at that time. So, I knew it was going to fit my personality. It was more like a college town for me. And I just liked the atmosphere. I really did. And it was a good football program also. So I knew I would get the most out of that. And God just really blessed me to have it worked out the way it did.
LeVon, as a defensive player like you were and having coached like you have, we were talking earlier in the show about the Patriots and their lack of a pass rush over these last few years and how it's become a major problem. LeVon, if you watch the games, it's just like they're almost wrestling with the offensive linemen. There's no pressure on the opposition. Can a team win like that? I mean, they came close, but it just seems to me without any pressure on some of these guys and the way they can throw and the receivers, the way they can run, you would have trouble in the NFL if you can't rush the quarterback.
Well, yeah, I think that's always the case. Nowadays, I think the NFL, it probably has always been this way, but it's more geared to the offense. The rules are for the offense. So how do you combat that? You can't combat that with just regular standard play. You need guys that can really get after the quarterback because that's obviously the most important position, and it's the position that gets everything else going as far as the offense is concerned. So you need to always be able to put pressure on them. And, you see it when teams can't, it's difficult to stop these offense these days. I mean, the passes are quicker. I mean, guys are certainly precise in what they run and their routes. And a good quarterback with no pressure can pick you apart. So, yeah, of course, you always need that good rusher. Whether you get it or not, it's sometimes, left up the air. But I think that you always have to get, a guy who can rush, and you can't just have one player who's a great rusher, the other ones be kind of marginal. You gotta be able to have at least two guys come off the edge that can cause trouble. And I think when I played, we really had that. We had guys who can rush off the edge and really help the defense out a lot. So if you don't get that pressure on that quarterback, at least the pressure, I think you'll have a difficult time winning in the NFL.
Levon, I saw you posted a picture of you along with Emmett Smith out on social media. What was that conversation like?
You know, just mutual respect, actually, for each other. And, you know, Emmett was, you know, one of the measuring sticks back in the day when we played. I mean, you know, the Dallas Cowboys had that running game at the time, and what he did as a runner was tremendous. And, you know, it's always good when you could see a former player that you respected and that you battled with. And for them to, you know, acknowledge what you did too. And it's special because a lot of times, you know, I don't see myself as a Hall of Fame, you know, type of guy that's going to make it to the Hall of Fame. But it's kind of cool when guys that have made the Hall of Fame and they really appreciate your work and appreciate what you brought to the game. So, you know, we just had a conversation, but, you know, we just did some shop talk and it was good. It was real good. Good seeing them. But most importantly, the camps that we do at Rivals, that guys who play are coming back and their kids are actually being a part of that camp. That's great. I'm glad I can be a part of it.
So did you remind them that if it wasn't for a certain quarterback, one of those Super Bowl rings he has would be on your finger instead?
Yeah, you know, I didn't say that because it's a mute point at this time because they still won the game. I mean, they did. So, no, I didn't really go into that. We just kind of went into, you know, playing against each other. And, you know, as you get older, you start talking about kids today and football players today. And, you know, we always believe that we've done it better. It was much better back in our day. So, we just kind of chimed on that. We really didn't go into the Super Bowl because really I didn't have much of an argument. You know, I could basically say, yeah, I did a great job of stopping you. But, you know, I mean, they ended up winning. Now, if we would have won the game, you know, I might have reminded him, but I didn't want to talk anything about that, that Super Bowl 30, you know. It's a painful memory anyway.
I'm with you. As a Steeler fan, yeah. It's a pretty painful memory for me, too.
Yeah, of course.
Levon, I want to get to your...
We were there, though. Go ahead.
Levon, I want to get your perspective on the Jaguars, because it's an organization that seems to have always given the Steelers fits. You know, when you look at the record head-to-head, the Steelers are under 500 against Jacksonville all time. I know you guys struggled with them right out of the box. They came out in 95 and got one of their first wins was against the Steelers. What is it about the Jags that seems to give the Steelers fits?
Wow. You know, I think when we played them the first time, you know, it wasn't – you always thought about expansion teams not being really good expansion teams. You didn't think about them being that great. But if I recall – in that game, Jim Miller was our quarterback. We just got Jerome Bettis, I think. Yeah, I'm almost sure that year. We almost got Jerome Bettis, and we just had a lot of issues that game. We, you know, Greg Ward went down. Jason Gilden didn't play that game. He went down too, and we were just spinning. And plus, the weather there was just like ridiculous. It was hot. We were wearing the black jersey. You know, as a football player and as an athlete, and if you play long enough, this is the one thing you do understand. That, man, sometimes, you know, you just have an opponent or it's just not your day. It really isn't. You know, in that game, I mean, we were like 3 and out on offense, and they did a good job as far as, you know, really utilizing what they did well. Brunell, he was a great runner. They had some really good receivers. The running game wasn't that great, but they kept us on the field a long time. But after a while, you get kind of worn out, especially when you don't have all your pieces. So that's one part of it. The other part of it, I can't quite, you know, explain. I mean, I think they've always been a really physically tough team, and they, you know, they were a team that were always able to handle us and in ways that they had some really good wide receivers at the time. And they had a good quarterback. I mean, so they had some good players. And they just matched up with us pretty well. So it's kind of hard to explain. We beat them too, but I mean, it was tough, man. It really was. And I think they just, sometimes the team just has a formula on you. I mean, they just ran the ball. As I saw in the last game they played last year in the playoffs especially, they just seem to run the ball well. And if you can't stop the run, I don't care how much people say that the game has changed and we're getting away from running backs, but if you can run the ball well, and their defense is pretty well, their defense is pretty good too. So, sometimes it's just simply a matchup problem.
LaVon, you've done a couple of coaching internships. The last couple of years, you've been with the Cardinals. You spent some time with the Bengals. Is that something we're going to see more out of you? Will we see you coaching somewhere this summer in training camp?
I'm not sure. I'm not really sure about that. You know, if the opportunity comes up, whatever God has for me, that's what I do. If that opportunity shows up, then, you know, I take it and I use it for God's will. But if it doesn't, then it's okay. It really is. It's not that I am just so enamored that I have to do that. But if that's what God wants me to do, I do it to the best of my ability. But if not, I do something else.
Bob, more for LaVon?
I was just going to ask you, LaVon, about the coaching at the pro level versus college. LaVon, is there any enjoyment in one more than the other? Obviously, you're dealing with more polished people at the pro level, but then you're doing probably more teaching at the other level. Do you have a preference?
I don't know if I really have a preference. I think the only thing is the recruiting, it can be a bugaboo. On the college level, it's tough. And, you know, I have to also add in that I do have a daughter and I don't have a wife or anybody like that. And I think it's really tough to raise a child and also be on the high levels. You know, I mean, you can get it done, but I mean, it's tough. It really is. And after doing it, I kind of realized why most coaches are married. You know, I get it now. But, I like both levels, you know. I mean, Arizona Cardinals, I mean, it was great. I mean, because you're getting the best of the best, and I think this is what people need to understand. I know there's always reports about a high-profile NFL player getting some kind of trouble or whatever. But 95% of those guys are great guys. Guys you want to take home and, you know, introduce to your daughter. I'm serious. They're intelligent. They're hardworking. And they're the best guys in the world. They give back. They do a lot of things, especially now. I think guys have a heart about giving back and mentorship. So in that way, I love the pro game because you're dealing with the best guys. You're dealing with the top 1%. Mm-hmm. But in the college game, you can really teach and you can really help and you can really develop players. I think on the pro level, you can do that also, but, you know, you get them so young and you're really teaching them the way. So there's benefits to doing both. There really is.
And when you,
the only thing about pro is you don't have to worry about a 4-hour bus trip like I had to do in at FAMU. That's the only thing. Then travel when you're traveling like that, you're driving to some of your opponent's stadiums. That's other than that. They have both good things about it, and I like both good things. But you know, my priority is being a man of God and raising my child. That comes over everything.
That was kind of a follow up. I was going to ask you, when you do have free time, LaVon, I mean, recreation wise, I mean, are there certain activities that really take you away and make you happy?
You know, I'm a movie guy. I really am. I'm a movie guy, and me and my daughter, we like to, she definitely is a artist in a lot of ways, and, you know, she likes to watch bad movies. You know, we'll get together, and we'll watch, like, the worst movie there is. That is almost unbearable to watch. So, we'll do that, and, I like doing anything, you know. You know, hanging with family, hanging with friends, you know, but I'm a lot to myself, which I'm really trying to get out of. You know, Greg Lloyd's been calling me a lot lately because he knows that I get to just not, you know, really not communicate as much as I should. So I'm trying to get out of that. So maybe, you know, you guys can send me some new hobbies that I should try. But, but I've been, you know, but, you know, I love movies, you know, hanging out with family when I can. I'm not with them now, so it's a little harder, but I'm a pretty simple person. Like I said, I just want to do what God wants me to do and have me to do, and we'll go from there.
Yvonne, just a couple more before we let you go. And it's interesting that you mentioned Greg Lloyd, that Greg is supposed to join us here shortly. But, you know, Greg was such an intimidating player. I'm staring at a picture that I have of him, you know, kind of a famous one with the T-shirt that says they didn't hire me for my disposition. Was that stuff saved for the opposition? Or did you guys every once in a while sort of raise an eyebrow and say, you know what, I think I'm going to leave Greg alone?
Greg was a real deal. He was as advertised. But he backed it up. It wasn't just talk now. Greg really was intimidating. Even, you know, me as a player, I was a intimidating kind of beat guy. I mean, I was a tall guy, big guy. But he brought something to the table. You know, I don't know if he can really teach it or whatever, but he brought that to the table. I think people really feared him. His reputation was no joke. And I mean, you put the Taekwondo on there, the black belt, and he was just a furious, explosive player. And he wasn't really, a big guy, but he was, as Coach LeBeau said, might have been one of the hardest hitters that I played with, especially. And his attitude, he brought it every single time. And if he said he was going to do something, he basically did it. And he was just, out of all the alpha males that we had, he was the alpha male. And, you know, and that was it. So everything you hear about, that T-shirt really speaks volumes. I mean, don't let anybody fool you. That guy was a tremendous player. And I tend to think if he doesn't get hurt, he doesn't have that staph infection, he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's still worthy of being a Hall of Famer right now. The guy was, you know, he was a presence on the field. I mean, may not have the stats, may not have the sack numbers, but in real life, playing with Greg Lloyd was no joke. It was no joke. I mean, I'm telling you, the guy, I guarantee you, the guy was respected by everybody that he played with in those days. He's a guy that, like I said, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, people go off numbers and whatever like that. But that dude was special. I thought he was one of the better defensive players we had on our team.
So what was the worst that you saw someone get abused by Greg or even Kevin Green on the other side, whether it was at a game or was in practice?
Well, oh man, it's kind of hard to say because he did it both times. I've seen him do it in practice. I've seen him do it in a game. One game that really kind of I think back to was the San Diego game back in, I want to say 90, what's that? Well, I got drafted. I think it was 93. We played those guys and this was my first year started. And I just saw a guy who just totally dominated the game. You know, he had a tackle for a loss on a reverse. I never saw anybody play the reverse as well as he played the reverse. And then he had this really, it was a tight game. he had this big time sack that the ball came loose. I happened to pick up and run for a touchdown, but he dominated that game. I mean, totally dominated. They could not do anything with him. I don't recall who was the tight end or who was the tackle on his side, but they could not control that guy. I mean, he did whatever he wanted to, and that's just that's just one of the games I saw. I saw him knock out Dan Marino in the game, which he told everybody he would do, and he did it. So I see the guy just totally take over the game sometimes, and it was great being his teammate because you just kind of sit back and watch it all happen. But those were the games that I recall. He's played other games that he just dominated too. So he was one of those guys that the advertisement was for real, you know? It really was. I mean, that's a real thing. You can really believe that infomercial. You know, those infomercials that have, like, all these products and half of them don't work. Greg Lloyd was definitely not that guy. I mean, you know, his reputation, he really presented it very well as a player.
And you were talking a moment ago about how 95% of the guys, you know, in the league or played in the league are good guys. And we're on that same pathway or same plane with you because, you know, our last segment of every show, LaVon, is what we call our spotlight on the positive, because we do believe that the news picks up all of the bad things. The guys would get arrested and, you know, for this, that, and the other thing. But the good things that guys do don't get the publicity that it deserves, right? If it gets anything at all, it's a small thing on page 12 of the newspaper, a click on a link way at the bottom that you really would have to search for. And we like to bring those things forward. So we spotlight two players every single week that are doing great things in their communities and around the world. And as you talk about the guys that have done great things, who are some of the guys that stick out to you that you've talked with, worked with, been around, that have really done a lot of really good things in their community?
As a player, Greg was one of those guys who visited the hospitals all the time. I mean, the children's hospitals, he would do it all the time. He basically would make you go too. So, I mean, he did it. The one player that I know is Timmy Lester, because Timmy has always been involved as far as helping young people get to the next level as far as SATs are concerned, getting into college. I just remember him doing a bunch of that. Current players, you know, Fitzgerald, tremendous, tremendous guy, tremendous, tremendous man. And a lot of those guys on that team, I mean, Carson Palmer, Calais Campbell, some of the, I mean, great people that you would ever, ever meet. And they just help out, you know, they do a lot of things to help out in the community. And like I said, now tell me how many other people from other professions that you know that do that. I mean, basketball does it. But, I mean, like, let's think about regular people. I mean, I just kind of wonder how many people actually help their communities out as much as athletes do. You know, how many entertainers, how many singers? I don't know, but I know that, you know, guys in the NFL do a really good job of doing that. They do a really good job of giving back. So it's good to see. It really is. And we hope guys continue to do that.
Well, to that end, LaVon, remind our listeners about the other things that you are involved with away from the football field.
I am involved with Rivals. And Rivals is a camp that is a free camp. And what they do is they connect with the high schools, with kids that are really good players, but also not only just training those guys, but helping those guys as far as life lessons, really about getting into colleges and doing it the right way and making sure that they have everything that they need so they can move on to that level. So that's just, one of the things that I always do. Also with lung cancer, because that's something that my wife pass away from, and we do a thing. I don't do it as often as I want to, but at least once a year, we'll take lung cancer survivors to a football game, and that's through Chris Draft Foundation. and it's something that I enjoy doing, taking those survivors to a pro football game, you know, get them on the sidelines, get them to take pictures with current NFL players. So it's pretty cool to me. It's really dear to my heart. As I move along, hopefully I will get involved a little bit more with other different charities. Also, we do a lung walk every year too, lung cancer walk, in Greenville, South Carolina, where we resided at one time, and in the memories of my wife, we do that walk too. So, you know, I think it's always good when you do things that are relatable to you, and that's the one thing that is near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I was a student athlete too, so anytime that I can help out with the development of student athletes, you know, I'm down for it.
Well, Vaughn, remind our listeners as well, how can they stay up to date with all the things you're doing, whether it's online or it's over social media?
Well, I'm a social media guy. You know, the kids, it's kind of funny, I took a picture with some campers, and they were like, I said, I'm going to put this on Facebook, and they kind of laugh. And I know Facebook is for older adults, I'm trying to say, but, you know, I'm on Facebook. You know, I'm on Twitter too, 44_Kirkland. So if you want to get in contact with me, those are the best places to do that. I'm a Facebook guy, and I know Facebook's been going through a whole lot, but we older people kind of like Facebook. So if you want to keep in contact with me, that's probably the best way to do it.
Well, LaVon, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to be a part of the show. It's always outstanding for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. We hope you'll come back and do it again sometime soon because you're fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you guys. And again, happy birthday.
I appreciate you, LaVon. Take care. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
All right. Sounds good. Bye.
That is former Steelers Pro Bowl running back, linebacker, I should say, LaVon Kirkland. And Bob Boyd, what an outstanding guy he is. And I think, you know, one of the things that he doesn't get enough credit for, if you will, people don't know about him as much, and we've been privileged to see it, you know, when he's joined us, you know, the 8 other times before tonight. He's a funny guy, too.
He is. He's got a great personality, but I find it fascinating, Chris, because he is kind of a laid-back guy who just is a very kind of a quiet, private type of guy, personable enough, but he just, that's his demeanor, very quiet. It was a fierce football player, but that's him. He's just, I love his laid-back attitude, but he's always such a pleasurable guy to speak with. He's done the TV side, the radio side, and is willing to talk about anything, and really has had some tragedy in his own life, and he seems to take one day at a time, and we just love guys like him.
Yeah, we do. And just on a side note, I believe, you know, he mentioned how his wife passed away from lung cancer. I believe she contracted lung cancer having never smoked in her life, and that was something that LaVon, you know, obviously had a little bit of a hard time, and, you know, his late wife trying to reconcile. How do you get lung cancer having never done any of that? Anyway, yeah, but we can't thank LaVon enough for his time.